Acts chapter 27, verse number 21. And after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of the crew, prisoners, and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you. The ship, the cargo, it's gone. Forget about that. But no human loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Wednesday, in the course of our lesson, talking about short-sighted faith, I mentioned that we were in the presence of angels. And I didn't see a single eyebrow go up. I didn't see any grimaces or grins or anything like that. My point was, the thing that I was trying to make at that point, was that we don't often recognize the things that are around us, especially when it comes to spiritual things. But as I thought about it later, I had to ask myself, did anyone really disagree with me and just not expressed it on their faces? Preacher, when was the last time you said anything about angels? To be honest, I have no idea. I save the title of every message that I preach. It goes into a file. And for some reason or other, I have not used the word angel in any title for some time. There was nothing in my file that said I preached a lesson on angels. I know that I have, but it's been a long, long time. We need to know what the Bible says. We as Christians need to have a doctrinal basis that touches every aspect of the Word of God. So every once in a while, we need to talk about subjects that are a little off base, perhaps not in the center of our focus, but they're there nevertheless, and they are important. What are some of the reasons that Christians don't often think about the creatures of the spirit world? One parallels, perhaps, why we don't meditate on the blessings of electricity. We expect it to be there when we flip the switch. We take it for granted. We don't think about spiritual things as often as we should, and some of the specifics of spiritual things, because we take them for granted. Secondly, we don't often think about them because we are more carnal than we ought to be. We are so focused on our pain. We're so focused on our sports. We're so focused on politics or making money that we don't have time to consider the eternal things. We're so carnal, we don't consider them as we ought to be. And then there is the fact that you have me. One of the reasons why we don't talk about angels very often, one of the reasons why you don't talk about angels very often, is because I'm not reminding you to talk about angels very often. How easy it would be to go through Acts chapter 27 and talk about the ferocity of the storm. We could talk about the will of God. We could talk about how no man's life was lost and yet the ship was destroyed, and how it ended up in Melita, etc., etc. And not even mention the fact that Paul said, an angel came to visit me, don't worry about things, everything's going to be all right. We could just skip over that. So one of the reasons why you don't talk about angels is because I don't talk about angels enough. We're correcting that today. We're going to have another lesson this evening on another aspect of angels, because it's a pretty broad subject. Are you aware that angels are mentioned more than 300 times in the Bible? Are you aware of the fact that more than 24 times they are mentioned in the book of Acts? It's a pretty big subject. We don't contemplate angels because we're not taught or encouraged to think about angels. So at the very least, we're going to get a very preliminary couple of lessons on angels. There's been a lot of human speculation about angels throughout the centuries, and unfortunately, this is sad and dangerous. I use the word speculation on purpose. Speculation refers to contemplation on a subject about which we don't know very much. And then we use that word when talking about investing in the stock market. We're speculating. There's risk in speculating. There's risk in intellectual speculating. We have to be careful. Speculating on angels is not only a waste of time, it's quite risky. Speculating on angels, studying what the Word of God says about angels, is not a waste of time. Speculating is. Throughout much of human history, angels have been exaggerated into the realm of the ridiculous. If preachers today handled Bible doctrine the way they did in the Middle Ages, we would still be in the Dark Ages. How many angels can stand on the head of a pin? People argued about that. How important is that, Brother Byrd?
Oh.
Can two angels occupy the same place at the same time, Brother Byrd? Well, just think about it. Oh, that's interesting. Maybe we shouldn't think about it. We've got a lot of time to cover here. Do they eat heavenly manna? Do they eat it all? What do angels look like when they are not residing in some human form? How much time elapsed between the creation of angels and the fall of Lucifer? Now, there's a relatively interesting subject. But our eternity and our relationship with the Lord doesn't depend on how we answer that question. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Does that mean that angels do not speak English? Does that mean their native language is not Hebrew or Greek? What are the differences between Satan's angels and God's angels? Most of these kinds of questions are not only better left unanswered, they are better left unconsidered. Move on. Because history has proven that in the contemplation of angels, people become idolatrous. Angels are often lifted to a place of special reverence that should be given to God and God alone. And even in these days of modern enlightenment, if that is the case, millions of books in hundreds of titles encourage the adoration of angels. Angels are a key ingredient in spiritism. They are a major part of the New Age movement. Back 20 years ago, we were all talking about the New Age movement. We're not talking about it much anymore. But it's still here. And key to it are these spirit guides and whatnot. There stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And whether you've thought about it or recognized it, there have been angels standing by you.
Yeah.
To Bible believers, the existence and the importance of angels is beyond dispute. How do you know that there is such a creature as an angel? Have you ever seen one flitting through the sky with their big broad wings, or six wings, depending on the kind of angel you're talking about? Have you ever spoken to any? Have any angels been forced to confess that they are indeed the ambassadors of God? How do we know that there are angels? Well, we could use the argument of reason, which takes us back to that speculation point. For example, God is a spirit, John 4:24. And people are creatures with spirit natures that live within physical bodies. If God is a spirit, and if we are spirits, then it is likely that there are other kinds of spirits as well. So, yeah, there must be angels. Don't rely on that sort of reasoning. Then there is the argument of the masses. There is nearly universal acceptance of the existence of angels. Almost all religious systems have some sort of angelic creatures. They're called aeons by the Gnostics, and there are a number of different names before we get even into the demonic creatures. I'm told that Socrates claimed to have a spiritual helper. I'm told that Plato claimed to have a spiritual helper. Just because nearly all religions teach the existence of angels, that doesn't mean that every one of those religions, believe in angels. The Jewish Sadducees, they didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in anything spiritual, really. But we aren't Sadducees, and we aren't Greeks, and we aren't barbarians. We are children of God, Christians. We know that they are angels because the Bible tells us so. I would have sung it, but probably would have butchered it. We believe in angels because the Bible tells us there are angels. So that, as we said a couple of days ago, that's the way it is. There are 273 references to angels in the Bible, and then multiple references within some of those verses. That's one reference in every 114 verses. That's an average of one reference to angels in every four chapters. They're found in 34 books of the Bible. How many books are there in the Bible? 66. So, more than half. Who's your favorite New Testament writer? Paul, perhaps. I'll just give you some. We're going to mention all of them anyway. Paul said, I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present can separate us from the love of God. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Did Paul write the book of Hebrews? Maybe, maybe not. Not important. That book is densely populated with angels. Christ, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, he bringeth in the first begotten into the world. He saith, Let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, and of the angels, he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers as flame of fire? Is Peter your favorite author, penman? Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. God spared not the angels that sinned, cast them down to hell. Angels are mentioned in the book of Jude. The angels which kept not their first estate, left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Joseph, Mary, Elizabeth, Zechariah, Peter, John, Mary Magdalene, the list goes on and on. These people conversed with angels. The Old Testament is filled with angels. But it is the Lord Jesus who takes precedence in his testimonies.
Yes.
Not only did Christ teach us about angels, it's nearly impossible for the angels and the demons to keep quiet in his presence, especially the demons. Christ made statements such as, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory with all the holy angels, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Then shall he say unto them that are on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" For someone to deny the existence of angelic creatures, he must call Christ Jesus a liar. He cannot be a child of God. The integrity of Christ rises or falls on the reality of angels. A number of other things as well. But if there are no angels, you can't trust Christ. He was not restating Jewish fables, as some people claim.
Right.
The Jews believed in angels, and Jesus was trying to build a rapport with them, so he spoke about angels. No. Christ was not accommodating himself to the foolishness of man. And he didn't speak without thinking. Everything he said, he meant to say.
Yes.
He never misspoke.
That's right.
Yes, Jesus did speak in allegories. But do you know that? I'll let you do the research. I don't think that in any of his parables he ever referred to angels. It was always outside of those stories. Paul said, "There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Therefore, sirs, based on the testimony of this angel who spoke to me, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God," because the angel was speaking for God, "I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." The ministry of angels permeates the book of Acts. In chapter 5, several of the apostles were arrested and jailed. Then the high priest rose up, and they that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees, didn't believe in angels, they were filled with indignation. They laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord, by night, opened the prison doors. That is a physical, tactile, real thing. The angel of the Lord, by night, opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." When they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught as they were told. Stephen's message to the Sanhedrin. Wait a minute. Stephen's message that day has several references to angels. Even though he knew many of the people who were listening to him did not believe in angels, but he didn't care if he offended anybody at that point. In Acts 8, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip and said, "Get down there to Gaza. I've got a work for you to do." In chapter 10, the angel of God visited Cornelius and told him how to find the gospel. Then in Acts 12, Peter was arrested and jailed once again. But behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side, "Wake up," raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. These angels can do spectacular things. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." So he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. He went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel. He thought he saw a vision. He couldn't believe that this was really happening. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. They went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed. He was gone. When Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews. I was afraid I wasn't going to get through this lesson, so I've been rushing along. I should have been asking you questions. It seems to me, based on the testimony of the scriptures, that not only do angels exist, but they serve God in at least three major ways. In the Old Testament, we see that they are constantly in the business of praising and worshiping the Lord. We see Isaiah in the holy place. We hear of them in the Psalms and elsewhere. They worship the Lord, and they encourage us to worship the Lord as well. Although we don't see them as active today, they are still here. And they want you to worship the Lord. In the New Testament, sometimes we have references to angels carrying out the judgment of God. For example, there was Herod Agrippa. And immediately, as he boasted, fussed and fumed, and was patted on the back, immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms, gave up the ghost. He died. But in contrast to the ministry of judgment, one of their primary services is through serving God's people. Angels serve the Lord by serving God's people. We should serve the Lord, among other ways, by serving God's people. Washing feet. Paul was praising the Savior in making this comparison. To which of the angels said he, God, at any time, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits? Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. We may have, each of us, an angel sent by God to serve us on a regular basis. I'm not going to stomp my feet and pound the pulpit and say this is the way it is. But we have hints of that sort of thing in the Word of God. You may have an angel sitting on your shoulder. Yeah, probably looking over your shoulder. What is that that you're doing there? What is that you are reading? Should you be doing this? They study us to know their God better. Will they know God better by watching us or listening to our conversation? They hear the preaching of the Word of God and learn stuff the Word of God tells us. We have, probably, our own right hand angel. God has never said to any angel, sit here at my right hand. They are busy doing the Lord's work. They're going about the world carrying out His orders. They're sent forth to care for the needs of the heirs of His salvation. Paul, Luke, Aristarchus, there may have been some other Christians that were on that ship in Acts chapter 27, headed toward Rome. And now the thing is going down. The storm is so bad, it's filling up with water. They're cast out the wheat that they were carrying. Eventually, they got to the point where they were throwing out the tackling of the ship. There was nothing left. They were in desperate need. If the truth be known, it is likely that one of the demons of Satan was whispering in the ears of the soldiers that were guarding these dangerous Christian prisoners, maybe we should kill them. Don't let them escape. Who knows? They might get out of this. Those demons know that it doesn't matter how strong the storm is. God can deliver. Maybe we should just kill them. And so the question came up. Shall we do away with them? On the other hand, there were other angels, at least one there with the Apostle Paul, who was not only discouraging the demon, was actively whispering in Paul's ear, don't worry about this. This is nothing. Little storm, little wind, little rain. We could always use a little rain, couldn't we? There will be the loss of no man's life, but the ship. The ship's going down. One of the angels of the Lord was sent to offset the attack of the storm and perhaps other spirit creatures. One of these days, when the dust settles, we're in our glorified bodies, enjoying the blessings of heaven. One of these days, we may learn of the importance of angels in our personal lives. We may, and I'm not saying that we will, we may be given precise information. This is exactly what happened on May 5th, 2024, while you were sitting in church or going home after church. One of these days, we may lift up our voices in praise to our Heavenly Father. And among the many, many things, physical things, thank you for doing that. Thank you for giving me this. Thank you for my eternal life. We may also be saying to the Lord, thank you for that ministering spirit. When we know the facts. Perhaps we should start practicing now. There. They are among us. I believe that. We should be praising the Lord for the things that He is doing for us and to us right now.